Great quarterback. Not saying you can't play quarterback now. You probably can. Probably. Caleb Herring is with us, new color voice of the Rebels. And, of course, it is the Tony Sanchez Show, live here at Born and Raised, presented by Finley Toyota. Good to see you.
Good to be here. It's amazing how fast the year goes.
Right?
Absolutely. No, it was good getting out of the office, knowing that we're getting closer to the season, getting here. So it was good. We're fired up.
Nice.
All smiling. I was just watching a video that you guys tweeted out on UNLV Athletics and UNLV Football. Super intense, like dark background. Everyone looks mad. You fold your arms. You're a scary guy.
But till we get into the dancing part, right?
Yeah. How hard is that for you to be all stern and kind of go pro wrestling to look like a badass?
Well, if we did that in the spring, you know, and you're in one of the studios and they're doing all the promo stuff, and you have to laugh at yourself. You know what I'm saying? If you take yourself too serious, it's hard to get through it a little bit.
Yeah, because it's definitely the opposite of how you are, your demeanor as a person. It's nowhere near the angry, mean guy, so that's got to be tough for you.
Well, that's funny, man. Well, you know, being a competitor and player, and sometimes you get in those competitive situations, you're just a different dude for a little bit, you know?
Right.
But off the field, I think you can compartmentalize it. You know what I'm saying? You got to be a good person off the field and just be approachable and things like that. I think sometimes we take ourselves way too seriously. And, you know, I mean, there's a time to go do your job, and there's a time to just be a regular dude.
That's awesome.
Well, good. I like that. Because I want to ask you about the offseason. We'll get to the football part of the offseason, but right now I don't care. I want like 10 minutes of what Tony Sanchez does in the offseason. First of all, we just had a gigantic event in Las Vegas. The fight, $80 million gate, maybe 6 million people bought the pay-per-view. McGregor and Mayweather. Did you go?
I did not go.
You didn't go.
You know what? We had a day off, and college football was kicking off, and we watched college football all day. You know, we went over to a friend's house. We had a house full of people, and you know, we had a great time with it. That's for sure. But it was a little bit more low key. You know.
Okay.
I figured that'd be like a 4 or 5 hour event, and I didn't know if I had that energy in me.
You're usually an event guy, though. See you out there.
I am. I know. You got to save a little bit for the season coming up, though. You know, and I figured I had that one Saturday, and I've been gone. I mean, you know, when you work 20 some odd straight days, and you tell your wife, "Hey, I'm going out. I'm going to the fight." You know, she might say, "You know," she did say, "Hey, let's hang out." You know,
not tonight.
Right. I tried to pretend like it was an option.
Right. What did you guys both think of the fight?
I thought it was awesome. You know, I mean, obviously Mayweather is, you know, he's a legend. He's unbelievable. I mean, just the way he handled himself through that fight, he looked fantastic. You know, and then you look at Conor McGregor, and he just was obviously, you know, to only box for the short amount of time that he did and to be able to go into that 10th round, and he looked really good early. He got gassed, and it was pretty obvious. But I look at those two guys, and they're from two totally different sports. Conor McGregor is the epitome of MMA, and to me, it's such an entertaining, phenomenal sport. I'm a big fan of it, and, you know, Mayweather's a legend, too, in his own.
So, speaking of those two sports being completely different and being two different worlds, personally, your opinion on both, which do you prefer? Do you have a preference, or are you just kind of enjoying the competition?
You know what? Some people like this, some people won't. I prefer the MMA just because, you know, living here the time that I did, you know, and knowing the Fertittas the way that I did, and, and being around it and kind of getting exposed to some of the underneath of it and getting to know some of the fighters. And what I love about it is the different styles that go into it. I mean, my goodness, you have to be so multifaceted to do it. I mean, I love boxing. I mean, you grew up with the Sugar Ray Leonard and the Hagelars, and, I mean, Tyson, my goodness. I mean, you know, I graduated high school in 92. I mean, that was right in the heart of it, you know. And so love boxing too, but I just, you know, MMA, it seems like there's always great fights coming. Nobody ducks anybody. They're always stacking against each other, and I love that. I just love how it's anybody, anytime, anywhere, let's go. We're not hiding, and it's not all about a paycheck.
Oh yeah.
If you guys found out tomorrow, you have 3 weeks, one of your guys on the team has to fight somebody. Is there a guy you're like, that's the guy, that's who we're nominating
to fight?
To get in an MMA fight.
Just who's the roughest, toughest customer
Mike
on the
Hughes. Yeah. Mike Hughes goes. Yeah, absolutely. It might be an MMA/sumo fight, but Mike Hughes would be the guy we'd throw in there.
What are some of the things that you see with Floyd and Connor that you can apply to football, that you would tell guys, hey, look at this and look at what these guys do and the way they handle things professionally?
Well, I mean, just the mastery of their art. I mean, when you really look at it, and there's some stuff I don't want them to do, like some of those press conferences and things like that, right? I don't want to see our guys doing that, but that's part of selling it. That's part of them selling their brand, but we're not going to do that, you know? However, you know, you can't take away the work that they put in, the excellence they put behind their trade. I mean, just the amount of sacrifice they make. You know, I mean, when you listen to these guys, you talk about their regiments and what they eat and what they put into their body and things like. I mean, those guys are professionals, and I think that's what we're trying to challenge our kids to do is, hey, taking a professional approach to your preparation each and every day. I don't think they're two better examples than those guys.
Finley Toyota congratulates UNLV football on its 50th anniversary. Finley Toyota and UNLV Athletics together, they make one great team, and we are here, born and raised, and the show is presented, the Tony Sanchez Show is presented by Finley Toyota. So moving on from the fight, the rest of the offseason, vacations. You go on vacation?
You know, we did. We, you know, my kids are getting a little older. They're involved in sports and stuff, so it's funny how that cuts into some of the stuff you do. But we did. We went and stayed with my wife's family for a little bit. She's in Las Cruces, New Mexico, so we flew into El Paso.
Wow, glamorous.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Hey, we got off the plane. We were right to one of the best restaurants ever called Chope's.
Yeah,
great Mexican food.
Okay.
Had that. Went up to the mountains for a couple of days and just kind of hung out and kicked it. It was good.
Oh.
It was good.
Adam's not going to like this. As the Mr. Pro Las
There's
Vegas
like
guy.
Six acceptable places to go. That's not on the list. You have family. You have to do what you have to do when you have family.
Absolutely. You know, we've done some other vacations the other summers, but that was the big one. And just you know, a couple trips down to the beach. You know, we always do that. It's a great thing about being so close to SoCal. And, you know, went and watched Padre game, you know, hung out in San Diego for a little bit, try to go watch some baseball
that's
every summer.
That's approved. No question about that.
I'm an A's fan, but it's just a little too far. So.
Yeah.
You mentioned, though, that, you know, you got the kids playing sports. How are you as a parent of an athlete, you know, even starting out, but are you going to be okay on sidelines, or are you going to kind of take over?
You know what's funny? Being a coach and have been around it and knowing about some, you know, a lot of these parents that kind of take it to a different level, that's not me. I sit in the far corner.
Right.
After every practice or game that I go to, I say, Coach, I appreciate it, and you know what? My opinion doesn't matter in those situations, and it shouldn't, and I'm there to support my kid, and all I tell them every day is whatever you do, hustle. That's all I care about.
How long can that last, though, as they get older? It's going to get tougher and tougher.
Not for me. Not for me. You know what? I want my kids to figure it out on their own. I want them to problem solve. I want them to learn to be tough. And I want them to learn that, you know, that there's setbacks and things that they're going to have to deal with, because that's reality. Problem is, sometimes we surround our kids with things that are just not reality. Then they get out in the world and go, hey, what's this all about?
Right.
Well, teach them when they're young.
Right. So speaking about family time with your kids and when you're with the sports, how hard is it as the head coach of a D1 team to disconnect? Is there like a rule with your wife and your kids that the phone goes away, I'm not taking any calls, anything like that, or are you still kind of in the back of your head connected?
You know, it's funny, my kids will bring it up to me, and so my wife sometimes, and you know, because I always say, you know, when we're at the dinner table, if we're at a restaurant, nobody's on their phones, you know,
right.
We're talking and hanging out, unless a recruit, you know, texts or something like that, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, time out for recruiting.
Right.
And the family gets that, they understand that, but I do try to put it away, you know, and spend some of that, you know, meaningful time, and it's hard, you know, I mean, I was spoiled, you know, being a high school football coach, you know, you had the offseason where you weren't on the road recruiting, so you had a lot of that good family time, and, you know, now a lot of it's just gone.
Right.
This time of year, you're just not around. So my son plays football. He plays on Saturdays, and I might get, you know, combined, I might get like 6 or 7 quarters in over the season. So it stinks not being able to watch all that stuff, but it's part of the job.
Do you know coaches who don't take vacations? Like, I just envision Nick Saban mentioned that. I forget what story he was talking about.
Fishing trip or something?
Well, he had a lake house. Oh, no, you know what it was? He had a lake house, and he was kind of mocking everyone else around the lake. Was watching that eclipse, that stupid eclipse. Like, I don't know if you saw this. He was, like, very down on the eclipse.
Yeah.
And we're all like, Nick, my God. Like, calm it down. But do you know coaches? I mean, I'm guessing old school coaches were like, I'm not doing vacation.
You know what's
work
right.
Work all the time.
And I think a lot of that's just coach talk.
Yeah.
Having knowing these guys, no, they all take vacations, you know.
Yeah.
And if I live on a lake house, I could just jump off my dock, too, right? We wouldn't have to take as many vacations.
Right.
But, no, I mean, you do have to get away for a minute. I mean, there are guys that are absolute grinders, no doubt about it. And I think everybody works extremely hard. But, I mean, you got to spend some time with the family. You do got to get away for a minute or you go crazy.
Doesn't seem healthy. I mean, like,
it's not. Yeah.
Not from a personal health or just even from a work standpoint. Like, I think there's a limit where you only can do so much, and that at that point you're just grinding the wheels. Like, you have to step away and refocus yourself.
Well, you know, it's funny. You talked about Saturday, you know, with the fight and everything. You know, we gave our kids and our coaches Saturday off. We locked the office, said nobody's coming in. We will not get another day off until the season ends. I mean, our bye week coming up this week, we all got plane tickets. We're all leaving after practice Thursday. We're gone Friday, watching games Saturday, practicing back on Sunday. So you won't get a day off for over 6 months. So, you know, when you do have that time, you need to take it a little bit.
Absolutely.
Best dinner in the off season. Can you think of a place?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm an easy guy when it comes to that.
You're an eater. You're pretty carnivorous, right? You're not nibbling
on
vegetables.
Could you tell? Is that my boots?
I am not going to, you know, critique your physique.
Hey,
I know you told me before that you're a steak guy.
Bone-in ribeye, medium rare from T-Bones with mac and cheese. Are you kidding me? It don't get much better than that.
Oh, it don't, does it?
That's why I got that six-pack, right?
I don't think it can. Oh, that's awesome.
Tony Sanchez Show, brought to you by our friends with Cox Communications and Contour Sports. Don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. Did you go to any shows in the offseason, Vegas shows?
You know what? I did not this offseason. This offseason, I'll be honest with you, this was the biggest grind we had since I've been here. I think it's because of the acceleration with recruiting. Our camps on campus went from 600 kids to over 1,200 kids. We had more official visits than we'd ever had before, and it just seemed like that, you know, the spring recruiting eval, we were extremely busy, and then the summer, June, it just what is normally a decent-paced June just was non-existent. So that's a long answer to the excuse of why I didn't go to a show. I apologize to everybody in that industry.
Oh, I wasn't looking for that. I don't think we were forcing you to do a shout-out. I just wondered if you saw a good concert or something or anything like that.
Oh, no, I went to CMAs. Went to the Country Music Awards. That was great.
Are you a country music guy?
I am a big country music
guy.
Really?
Adam, you all right with that? Caleb, you all right with that?
I think I'm fine with it. Yeah. Diversify.
Okay. Well, if you go to my car right now on XM Radio, you're going to get, you know, old school rock and roll. You're going to get hip-hop. You're going to get country music. So, I mean,
I don't have a problem with
you
it.
Can attest
I got
to that.
My barbecue music, my driving music. You can go to practice.
It's going to practice. You can hear it in the playlist at practice. Oh, yeah. I think he hijacks the playlist sometimes.
I do.
The players think it's hilarious, but I think you can see the diversity in his music.
Is there anything the players are like, Coach, come on.
Well,
what a nightmare you are.
There's a couple. You know, we had to teach him who Johnny Cash was. I said he's the original hardcore rapper, right? I mean, if you really listen to some of his songs. So they kind of laughed about that. But the funny thing is now they've been exposed to it for a couple years, you catch them singing these songs.
Some of them
too.
Sing along.
Really?
It's the greatest thing
it's
ever.
It's hilarious.
I like it. All right, we got to take our first break. Reminder again, it's all brought to you here at the Tony Sanchez Show by Finley Toyota. Finley Toyota's 2017 model clearance is underway. All 2017 models are being sold at clearance prices. Go in today for the best selection. We get a lot more about the offseason. Then we'll get into the nuts and bolts about the Rebel football program here with Coach Tony Sanchez and Caleb Herring. Live from Born and Raised, Tony Sanchez Show rolls on. Steve Cofield, Adam Hill helping out as regulars on the show, the coach, his name's on the show. Tony Sanchez is here, and Caleb Herring, who is going to be calling the games along with Russ Langer, who's out of town right now in Sacramento doing the 51s. All of this is presented by our good friends at Finley Toyota. So last couple of points before we get to the nuts and bolts football. We'll go through the depth chart. We'll look ahead to the Howard game. So offseason's always interesting. You get to decompress a little bit. One of the coolest things that goes on in Vegas are all the celebrities that come to town. So I noticed on the basketball side, Coach Menzies, man, that Mendenhall Center, what was it, like a month ago? All of a sudden, it was like LeBron's hanging out there, Derrick Rose, Russ Westbrook is hanging out there. But you guys have cool people hanging around, too. I see some of the pictures in the offseason.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that's kind of Vegas. I mean, everybody comes through here at some point, you know. And then having the NBA Summer League, those guys are just naturally at the facility all the time. So that's a really cool thing. And, heck, our guys get a kick out of seeing all those NBA guys being around. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you got, you know, Flavor Flav, you know, hanging out. His nephew's actually playing for us. So
he's
a freshman, yeah. So that's exciting to have him out, you know. And I've known Flav since, you know, my days at Gorman. He supports a lot of the local teams, so it's great having him. Forrest Griffin came out and talked to the guys this year, you know, on our first day of camp and kind of gave them a heck of a speech and got those guys riled up. So, you know, we always try to get guys in when we can, and it's good exposure for our kids, and it makes it fun.
All right, cool deal.
Do the kids know Flavor? Do you have to educate them on the
It's funny.
Club?
They know him, and he wouldn't mind me saying this. They were laughing. They're like, oh, you guys know who he is? I'm like, yeah, man. He's how old do you think he is? Yeah. He's a lot older than you think, you know? But he stood the test of time, man.
Oh,
we made a joke the other day. I said, we go to a bowl game this year, we're getting clocks.
Big clocks, everybody.
Let's do it. You watch any TV? You a big TV guy in the offseason?
Yeah, you know what?
You know where I'm going with this, right?
Well, last night, you know, I finally caught up, right? And so I watched the last episode of Game of Thrones, right? I watched it. I did.
We got a coach down here who's not a stick in the mud. I don't know if you saw it the other day. They did a Twitter Q&A with Kyle Whittingham, and they kept throwing Game of Thrones, and he, like, the first time he answered, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then all of a sudden it was like, all right, every question is going to be Game of Thrones. He's like, I got no idea.
Oh, my goodness.
Really? Yeah. No. I enjoy it, man. I like those shows, you know?
So you'd be ready for Game of Thrones trivia.
Oh, man, I do my best. I mean, I've been watching it, so, yeah.
It's good stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It turned into locker room talk, like Game of Thrones. It's like,
is it?
You can't get away from Game of Thrones now. I think it's gotten that big.
I'll tell you what, man. That's Cersei, man. She's a schemer, and, you know, and oh, man, it's unbelievable.
It is. See?
No doubt.
Well, you love Hard Knocks.
Oh, it's the greatest thing on television.
And so on Hard Knocks, the Buccaneers, like, they're all...
It's all they do.
Gerald McCoy is a Game, he's a Game of Thrones lunatic.
Right.
Yep.
How important is stuff like that to kind of, I mean, I know it sounds goofy, but to kind of bond a team, like...
Oh, you know? I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those deals, especially when you're recruiting and you're talking with your kids. I mean, there are things that that are kind of in the now, so to speak, right, that everyone kind of clings to, and they are conversational pieces and just kind of keeps you up with this generation and these kids, you know?
Like, you have to include emojis in your text when you're texting recruits now.
No.
If you're
like, oh, yeah, you know, you got to pump the fist once in a while or give them the ones up, and I mean.
Are you really?
If you had to recruit a kid, you'd be doing the same
thing. Oh, my goodness.
Nope.
This is revolutionary thinking here.
No, he's smart.
Changing the game.
But I would be Saban, like, there's no way I would do. I still do smiley face with, like, the colon and the.
At some point, Saban wasn't Saban, though. He couldn't do that until he had the stature, I feel like. I feel like if Saban was just starting out, he'd be emojiing all over the place.
I don't know. You remember back? Because it's so long ago that you played.
So long ago. Right?
But was there something that bonded you guys? That, you know, was it more music, TV, pop culture, news items?
A little bit of everything, I think, but especially during the days in camp. That's when you kind of find the most bond with your teammates. I think going up to campus, for us, we were up in Ely all the time, so... We're away from it all, except for HBO. We had Hard Knocks, so we would bond over last night's episode of Hard Knocks. Of course, you can only watch the same episode for a whole week until the next one comes up. So you're talking about an old episode of Hard Knocks for the most part. And that's pretty much the type of stuff you talk about. Whatever pop culture is going on, you just kind of bond over that stuff.
Would you hate being part of a show like that? Is it too intrusive? Hard Knocks on HBO.
I think it depends how you handle it and kind of what they do behind it. You know, I got a little exposure on that when they did the Snoop and Son show, you know. So but we sat down and we had the last right of refusal on certain things just to make sure that it was handled the right way. And the biggest thing there is we introduced the crew to our kids really early on in the process, so they became almost part of the team. And so I think it's about the way you handle it, right. You know. And it's always risky, but, you know, it turned out good there, and it was great exposure for that program I was at, so... Whatever helps you build.
See, because that's kind of the opposite of what I went through as a player. We had the opposite mindset of complete shutdown from the outside world as players. We had a social media policy. We couldn't be on Twitter or any of that. I'm just watching the way things have kind of unfolded under your tenure here and the way that you kind of include the media in a way that it hadn't been before. You include the community in a way that it hadn't been before. And it's really awesome to watch because I find that we're getting to know the program a little better. So it helps it.
Well, that's the thing. When you're trying to build a program, it's funny because when you talk about, like, recruiting, you're not just recruiting players. You're recruiting fans. You're recruiting donors. You're recruiting, you know, people to come into the fold. And so what's their link? Maybe it's a human interest story. Maybe it's just, you know, seeing really what's behind all of it and how hard you work and what all's going on. And we've had a lot of different people that have been exposed to different things, and that's been their kind of link into, you know, hooking up with the program. So, you know, with the social media, you can handle a lot of different ways, but it's here and it's here to stay. So teaching our kids and educating them on how to use it, I think it's huge.
Right.
It's the Tony Sanchez Show. As Les Olson, a proud sponsor of the show, also doing something really cool from an interactive standpoint. Rebel fans can post fan pictures with the hashtag LesOlsonIT, and you might win a $100 Amazon gift card. Les Olson Company hopes you win. You got to visit LesOlsonIT.com for contest details. It's Les Olson, your office technology partner. All right, let's get into some of the nuts and bolts. You know what? I'm doing quarterback last. How about that?
There you go. Right? I love it.
Because as a coach, right? I mean, the quarterback's an important part of the team, and they get most of the attention. Let's start up front.
Yeah.
So let's go down the line and where you are from left tackle to right tackle in terms of depth and who you're happy with and if there's any points of, you know, where you're worried a little bit.
Well, the biggest thing there is, you know, we returned 4 of the 5 starters, which is a big deal. You know, Will Kreitler, who was a starter last 2 years, did a heck of a job. He's actually an undergraduate assistant coach for us, so we still got Will in the fold helping us out. So Kyle Saxon's going into his 3rd year as a starter, done an incredible job of just building his body up. And it's kind of funny, 2 years ago he started at 268 pounds, and now he's sitting there at 298, and he's just a bigger, stronger, physical guy. But great to have that kind of experience back. Jaron Caldwell, he actually met his grandfather just a minute ago. He's our starting left guard, and is another. He's a local kid, so you know, again, he's going in and played a lot last year, started multiple games, so it's great to have him. Backing him up is Michael Chevalier, who actually was a starter last year, who now Jaron's taking his job, so another guy with a lot of experience. And then Zach Singer, you know, Sitacosta, a kid we recruited out of a junior college in Southern California, had a knee injury, won't be available to week 4. Zach's come in, and Zach's done a great great job, so he's starting there at center. And Giandre Sanders, who's another local kid, is backing him up. And 2 years ago, Giandre was our starting right tackle. So, again, he's got a lot of experience under his belt there. Justin Polu, another local kid, he's got a tremendous future in front of him. He's a guy who's got a chance that if he keeps his head on right, might be playing football for a long time, but started every game last year. And Nathan Jacobson's a two-year starter returning. So we got a good group right there. We got some great backups behind them. I feel like we have seven or eight guys that can get in and mix it up.
He's fired up. This is a little different sounding, Tony Sanchez, on the line. Not to rip the kids of the past, but when you came in, I mean, you just didn't have the depth. The guys weren't as big. Now, I mean, you just listed it. You've got backups who've got some real playing time.
I just named more guys than we had on scholarships in year one. I mean, we had eight. Unbelievable. Right. You know what I mean? So it's, but that's one of those deals. We knew that if we were ever going to have a chance, you know, and we haven't done a lot yet, right? But if we ever have a chance to move forward, it starts up front. If you don't fix up front, you're dead in the water. So Coach Garrison, Coach Cotton, we've done a good job, I think, of going in and not just getting a good front five, but building some depth, because there's some things that are going to happen. We saw it last year. We got to be able to sustain.
How important is it not just the talent and not just the skill, but to have that kind of experience in front of a young quarterback to say, hey, the line can at least communicate to each other, they at least know what they're doing, and even help the quarterback along a little bit in his development?
It's huge. I mean, because, you know, a lot of times you go up there, center's got to set things, but the quarterback's got to change protections. There are times where our center's going to see it and may help him out, make the call before him, especially early on. And when you have a group of road graders that can go ahead and give you the ability to run the football, if things get a little tough at times, it'll help him weather some storms. So they did a great job the last couple of years of establishing a run game,
right.
But we've got to add that passing game to it and be more explosive if we're going to make a big difference this year. But those guys up there are invaluable.
I think this is one of the first times in recent history that I can remember looking at a UNLV offensive line across the board and saying they pass the eyeball test. As far as their sheer size, they look the part for the first time just looking at them. Of course, there's some X and O stuff that we wouldn't know about. But how comforting is that to see that line in front of your young quarterback to say, these guys are big enough to do it? We know they're big enough to do it, and they've been doing it for a couple years now.
It's big. I mean, it's huge, because, I mean, that was one of the things where we had some – I mean, we haven't coached kids that didn't work hard, and we've had some kids that really busted their tail for us, but some of them just physically just, you know, weren't capable of sustaining. They just – and that's why you look at we've come out of the gates pretty good, and then as the season goes on, it's just, man, it gets tough. You get a couple of injuries, you start to wear down, and, you know, again, that first year, you got three guys that are under 270, I mean, that just doesn't exist,
right,
you
right.
know, I mean, so to the point where we're at now, well, the good thing is we're going to benefit from that, because a lot of those kids got thrown into the fire, they got the experience, and now they have the physical abilities to go out and compete at a high level.
We'll take care of some business here. Let's talk wide receiver depth.
Yeah.
I know you're excited about that, because my God, last year it got a little bit thin. Again, the Tony Sanchez Show brought to you by Finley Toyota, where they speak 14 different languages, no matter how you say it. You'll always get a great deal at Finley Toyota. Live at Born and Raised, it is the Tony Sanchez Show, the first of the season as we get ready for the game against Howard on Saturday. Tony Sanchez Show rolls on. Steve Cofield filling in along with Adam Hill. Regulars, of course, the coach, Tony Sanchez, and Caleb Herring is here as well. By the way, we haven't had a chance to tell you congrats.
Oh, thanks.
Very cool.
Thank you.
That you are the analyst.
Thank you.
Right?
I appreciate it.
It's always great having Rebel. Absolutely. Especially one that had such a good career.
Yeah.
We almost tried to get a hold of him and bring him out of retirement last year.
Oh,
we could have used him towards
the
end.
My goodness. If that was ever possible, I would be all aboard for it.
You are doing a good job. I will say, as a young prospect in the broadcasting biz, very solid, right?
Yeah.
Imagine
thanks.
If Adam was like, nah, not so much.
Wow.
I was impressed. The Campus Insiders, the gigs that I heard before.
Right.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
So let's talk wide receiver, because
yep.
you were over the moon for the last couple of minutes about depth at offensive line. Wide receiver last year got pretty thin. I mean, you moved the quarterback to wide out at one point late in the season. So where are you now?
You know, we're doing good. All those guys are back, and you know, obviously led by Devontae Boyd. He's had an unbelievable career, and, you know, he needs to have a big year for us, and we believe he will. But the great thing is, you know, you got Kendall Keys, who looks like he's doubtful for the first game. And it's a little bit precautionary. He'll be ready to go for Idaho for sure. But, I mean, those two guys, they just cause problems. I mean, you know, obviously Boyd, we could talk about him all day. His play speaks for itself. But, you know, Kendall being a big, you know, just under 6'4", 215-pound kid – he can really go up and get it, stretch the field. Darren Woods, who we lost last year during the Fresno game, he's back. That ACL is totally ready to go, and he's had a great camp. And he's a 230-pound wide receiver at 6'2", and you know he's a heck of a player. And then Brandon Presley, who's our starting kick and punt returner last year, who we lost in week one, he's back, probably the best athlete of the group as far as moving in space. Drew Techman, you know, a freshman wide receiver, has had a heck of a camp, done really well. And you'll see him running around there, and he's a great athlete. Mekhi Stevenson, you know, he kind of got thrown in a little early last year. But there's six or seven guys Darren Palmer adds into that group. He's a guy that did wrote a great story on, got out of the Air Force and was there for 7 years and came on out, and he's a tough son of a gun. Yeah. So found him at a walk-on trial, and he's actually pretty darn good. You know, and then A.J. Collins. So there's seven guys that they're going to be rotating in now that are big, they're physical, they're fast, and it's just it's good not to, you know, look around and see two or three of them raising their hands saying, you know, we want in.
Right. So looking at the core, just top to bottom, one that caught my eye coming to practice and seeing during fall, Darren Woods.
Yeah.
He, like you said, you lost him last year. Some of the routes he's run in practice, in the one-on-one drills and even in the team pass drills, he runs probably the most creative and tricky routes. And he's just good at getting open. From what I've seen, just watching him with my eyes, that addition, him being healthy with Boyd being healthy, obviously, and with Keys being healthy, that gives the young quarterback so many options, doesn't it?
It really, really does. And, you know, and you bring up Darren in particular, and he's such a big, physical, strong guy. I mean, you know, you don't have to change personnel groups when you want to run the ball. You know, he's a mismatch for linebackers, even though he's as big as he is. And,
right.
And the great thing is him and Presley are both sophomores, and Drew's obviously a freshman. Keys is only a junior. The only senior in the entire group's Boyd, so it's a talented group.
All right.
You briefly mentioned Kendall Keys there. You said doubtful, you think. Precautionary reasons. If it was like a championship game, something like that, do you think he could play? Because I know there's a lot of people concerned. Didn't see him on the depth chart this week. And
yeah.
Said, is this worse than we're scared about?
No. Well, as of right now, no. I mean, he's been at practice all week, been suiting up, been running around, hasn't done a lot of change of direction. Everything's been full speed but straight ahead. So we haven't done a lot of testing of him, you know, moving and changing direction. It'll be 3 weeks on Sunday from the sprained knee. So you want to make sure that thing's right and the stability is there before you go ahead and, you know, start messing with it, especially so early in the year.
Caleb, you mentioned tricky routes. What does that mean?
Well, he's not the fastest. I'm talking about Woods. He's not the fastest. You know, like Coach said, he has the size, but he's not the fastest guy in and out of cuts. But it seems like he has a great awareness of who he is and how he can run. So he creates separation in a lot of different ways, whether it's change of direction, speeding up, slowing down, change of pace, stuff like that. Just watch him on the eyeball test. He gives great definition at the top of his routes. He runs great routes, and it's just a compliment to him and where he's developed as a player. And I think maybe being injured, it probably gave him some time to hone in on his skills, but the way he runs his route is really clean to me.
Am I wrong in reading that quarterbacks and wide receivers have a special relationship? Like, the wide receiver may not always run traditional routes, but there's a trust factor between quarterbacks and their favorite receivers?
No, that's absolutely right.
And you can answer. I mean, you played the position, but everyone's got brings a different creativity to the way in which they run routes. So, you know, that's one of the things for young quarterbacks is like you got to know who you're throwing to. I mean, you know, if I got a vertical route on my left side, do you know who that guy is?
Because
people run at different speeds. People use different things to set people up. Backside pulls. I mean, there are some things that are pretty basic, 5-yard stops and slants. But when you start to get press coverage, you start to get clouds and skies and things like that. There's some creativity that goes in there, and that's when you got to know who you're throwing to.
Exactly. And like you said, you got to know who you're throwing to. And I think Woods is one of those kind of safety net type of receivers where even if he gets that press coverage, he's a big physical guy. He runs good, clean routes. You're comfortable with him getting off the press. Some receivers you might look up and they're getting pressed up and you say, he might not get off of that jam quite as quick as I'd like to. So I think Woods will be one of those guys for a young quarterback going into the season.
How important is that trust factor in that you could have you could get really embarrassed by a receiver doing the wrong thing?
Oh.
And it looks like it's the quarterback's fault.
Oh, it happens all
the
time.
They're like, I'm not throwing that ball that
it
like
happens
that
all the time. As a quarterback, of course you eat it and you take the blame for it, but you know when you go to the sideline, like, hey, look, you broke that off 5 yards short, man. Like, I need you to be where I want you to be. But I haven't seen that be too much of a problem with the practices that I've been to. They seem to be on the same page with a lot of the routes. And Amari's doing a good job of adjusting to them, and they're doing a good job making things easy for him.
So let's get into the quarterback. We'll get to the running backs here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So where is he? I mean, this you guys have been pointing to this time for a long time now.
Yeah, you know, it's he had a great spring, did a really good job, and you know, and the biggest thing we challenged him with is, you know, there's a lot of time where we can't be around those guys, right? And so by the time spring ended and the time we started camp, you know, one of the things we said, you know, you got to go out and you got to find a way to get better, because you know, you don't want it to be just picking up from, you know, where we were in the spring. You got to be a lot better than we were going into this thing. And he did a really good job on his own, getting together with the receivers, doing their own 7-on-7s and working on timing and all the things that you need to do. And then the extension of camp this year by a week may have been a huge benefit to us, because that was one more week we got to work with them. We had one more week of walkthroughs, one more week of, you know, that education, and he's ready to go. However, he's never started a game. You know, and right. Now redshirting him was invaluable. There's very few quarterbacks that really have the ability to go in and play right away right after high school. Some get thrown into the fire before they're ready because of situations. I'm so glad we didn't do that. But having said that, he's still a freshman, and he's still going to have those first game jitters and things like that. So we got to do a good job of helping him manage that and get comfortable with the game so we can go out and see what he's capable of doing.
So going through the off season, and like you said, going through the summertime, that's his time to really be with the group by himself. With the decision to give him the keys, essentially, to the season, or to the team for the season at least, was that something that you knew you wanted to do going into the season after redshirting him last year and letting him kind of sit and watch? Did you know coming into this offseason and this season that he would kind of get the green light to either make it or break it?
You know, it's funny. Everyone knows me. I just kind of tell you what I'm thinking. But, you know, we really thought, if we go back to a year and a half ago, I didn't know what was going to happen, and we're going to let the guys compete, and whoever the guy is, you know, I always say coaches don't pick starters. You guys right. do by the way you play, right? We thought going in, hey, Johnny Stanton was, you know, we would, you know, get that job, stay healthy,
right.
you know, end up starting for 2 years, and then Armani would be able to come in after redshirt and being a backup and play for three, and best case scenario. And, you know, Johnny, it's not his fault. He ended up getting hurt, not being able to play.
Right.
You know, Kurt had some tough situations going on, and what that did is it gave, you know, we really spent a lot of time developing Armani in the offseason, and we went into spring, there wasn't the incumbent starter coming back. It was clean slate, and said, all right, let's go compete.
Right.
And we felt like when it was all said and done, he was just a little ahead of those guys. So, you know, sometimes you have these great grand plans, and they don't always turn out the way you want them to.
Right, absolutely.
We got more questions about Armani Rogers. The rest of the offense will flip to the defense here in just a couple minutes. Tony Sanchez Show brought to you by Finley Toyota for a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales representatives. You got to go to Finley Toyota at Finley Toyota. They'll do anything to sell you a car. So, yeah, the defense is on the way, and also we'll break down Howard coming up, 6-piece start on Saturday. Live from Born and Raised, it is the Tony Sanchez Show. No Russ Langer tonight, calling the baseball game with the 51. Steve Cofield, Adam Hill helping out. Caleb Herring is here, and of course the coach, Tony Sanchez. Last couple points on Armani Rogers. Does he kind of get, like, what's going on around him in terms of hype, or do you just sense, like, yeah, he's, you know, he's not even worried about it?
You know, I mean, I think to an extent, but I think he's a little insulated right now, which is a good thing. It's, you know, the thing will come, you know, if he, and we're all hoping that he has a success we believe he can have, and then that's when you got to really do a really good job of managing. I think right now he's doing a good job of just being even keeled. He's a great kid. He's got a wonderful family. They've raised him right. He's a humble kid, so he'll keep his head on. We'll help him with that, too.
Well, he's got an awesome opportunity to run a high-powered offense based on what you guys did last year with the run game. And you've got everyone back with the run game. So
no,
I mean,
no
you should
doubt.
Have another big year. And you've actually, I know you've added beyond that. I don't know when they're going to get carries, but you have a stable of really good running backs.
We really do. With Lex and Charles Williams and Xavier Campbell and Tariq Collinsworth being added to the mix and Evan Owens. And we have five guys that we have no problem handing the ball to. And the hard thing is it's hard to get more than three guys the ball. So Lex and Charles are going to be your guys. They're going to be your workhorses. And then those other guys are fighting for that third bit of cheese. So we'll see.
So you guys could be a 35-point per game offense. You'd be better than that. Got to stop people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was, you know, at times the issue last year. So let's start on the defense. Let's go from kind of the back end of the defense, because that was a big problem. So what have you done to fix things? Do you feel better about it?
I do. You know, I mean, I think Chauncey Sism coming in, fifth-year senior from Syracuse, you know, he's done a heck of a job. And the great thing is he's played the Florida States, and he's played and started in those games. I mean, you watch, you know, some guys send you their films, and, you know, he's got a 45-minute film, and it's all ACC football. You know what I mean? So the guy's played and done really well, and you've seen the maturity in there. So, you know, we're hoping for a big big year from him. Dalton Baker and Evan Austria are battling at that other position. Dalton's just your steady Eddie guy, gets you lined up, communicates well. Evan's a little longer, maybe a little bit better of an athlete, but it's one of those deals where together they make a pretty good team there, you know. And then corners, there's really three guys right now. It's Robert Jackson, you've got Tim Huff, and Jericho Flowers. Jericho's probably the most gifted athlete of them all. Played receiver last year at the end of the season because we needed him to, but he's done a tremendous job. But, you know, I like the athleticism. We got to see some production out of it, though. We've struggled, and we've been pretty poor, you know, especially in third downs the last couple of years and giving up some big plays that have really kind of broke our back at times. So we want to see those guys do well. David Lockwood came in as a corners coach. He's done a great job there. And, you know, I think Coach Melissa has got a guy, group of guys that he can, you know, work with, and they need to produce, but I believe they will.
It seems like watching in practice and in the past that the defensive scheme puts a lot of pressure on those defensive backs as far as tight coverages, more, a little more man mixed in than we've seen out of the Rebels in the past. Are these guys, do you think, comfortable with the man-to-man challenge? I know Tim Huff is. He'll tell you he is.
Yeah.
But I think, do you think these guys are comfortable as far as you've seen with stepping up to that challenge and playing those coverages?
Yeah, you know, we've played a lot of man the last couple of years, and the one thing we've talked about in the offseason is you're still going to see that, but you're going to see a lot more zone too. You're going to see a lot more playing some different coverages to try to help those guys out.
Right.
We were not just going to leave them on an island. And then it comes with pass rush. First year we had no pass rush. Second year we did a better job with it. Didn't play as well in the back end. So it all kind of works together. But, you know, we're going to be creative. Coach Bear, we've talked about it a bunch. And, you know, he's been around and done enough stuff in his career where he's going to give these guys opportunities to, you know, to protect them at times. And sometimes they're going to have to go, though.
Right, right.
Is it fair to say you guys just wore out defensively last year?
Yeah, we wore out, and I don't know if we were as talented as we needed to be. You know, part of it too is you got to keep recruiting, you know, to a higher level. You know, when you watch this last year, like for example, you look at the San Diego State game. Our defense played well enough to win the football game. Our offense didn't. I mean, it's one of those deals where, you know, early on when you're healthy and you're rolling, you kind of match pretty well. We struggled at times. You look at the Wyoming game, and if you really look at that thing for 3.5 quarters, our defense played pretty darn solid, did a really good job of really holding them down, but you can't expect them to do that for 4 quarters, you know. And at times our offense, you know, would play well, and at times we stalled. I mean, we averaged 31 points, but it wasn't consistent. It wasn't like we always were moving the chains and changing field position. There were times where we three and outed way too often and put our defense in bad spots.
Just go back to offense. Steve mentioned 35 as a number. I saw a quote from you where it said maybe 40.
Well,
was that just a number, or was that something really in your mind?
Well, yeah, it's funny how it was like, did I really say that? He said, yeah, we're 31 points a game. I said, yeah, I think we could average a lot more this year, you know, if we play to our ability. And I believe we can, but I could care less if we average 17 points, 31, 44, whatever it is. We got to score more points than the team we're playing. I mean, it's the most important stat. So whatever we have to do in order to win games, we've talked about it as staff. I mean, if we got to win ugly, then let's win ugly. I mean, whatever we need to do to help the defense or help the offense or whatever the situation takes. I mean, that's the goal. But bottom line, in this day and age, there are not a lot of, you know, 14-7 games
right,
anymore.
Right.
I mean, you got to go out in the Mountain West, right, and you're going to have to score points.
Exactly.
Family Toyota is helping us bring you the Tony Sanchez Show. If you're looking for a great car deal, remember, nobody sells or services more vehicles in Nevada than Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Linebackers.
Yeah.
Linebackers. So what are you working on? What have you worked on to improve the unit?
Yeah, well, so it's a brand-new unit. But it's a bigger, it's a faster unit. Talo Tulele, you don't replace him. But I think the body of work with the three guys coming in, I think we're more athletic as a group. Brian Keyes was a guy, a JUCO guy we brought in from Scottsdale Community College. Played last year. The biggest thing with him is he needed to have a better offseason, and he did. Lost the weight he needed to lose. He's in better game shape. He plays with rocks in his pockets. I mean, he's a big, strong, physical guy. And then the freshman, Farrell Hester, has just impressed the heck out of everybody. I mean, this kid, he's going to play week one. You'll see him quite a bit. He's going to have a phenomenal
more
career.
Physicality or the instincts as a young guy?
He's got both. He
yeah.
knows the game. He's very instinctive. He's extremely physical. I mean, he's a true freshman. He's sitting there, you know, right at 6'2". He's 245 pounds, runs extremely well. He's going to have a heck of a career for the Rebels. So we're excited. Gabe McCoy, you know, he's a guy that came in as an end, never really grew into it, became a linebacker, quick twitch athlete, great pass rusher. He'll do a really good job there. And then Bailey Little Lang, who's a team captain, is, you know, a kid from Folsom High School who, again, should have redshirted, couldn't do it. Played him when he was too early. Didn't play much his freshman year. Did a good job as a backup. He's ready to take the lead now. And he's actually faster than Tal was. So, again, adding that speed to it's going to make a big difference.
So, as a, you said, you're going to kind of by committee, linebacker by committee, to replace a Lotulelei, which is no easy task. But
no.
Has anybody at that linebacking core kind of stepped up and separated himself as, hey, I'm the leader of this core. I'm the one that's getting everybody lined up. I know what's going on. I got everybody, and I'm going to take over this group. Has anybody done that for you?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, the Mike spots, I mean, Bailey obviously is the team captain, but he's not an overly vocal guy. You know, Brian Keyes has done a really good job with that, you know, and I think he's done a good job of understanding this is his opportunity. He's a senior.
Right.
You're a JUCO guy. We brought you in here for a reason, right? And
right.
And I think he's starting to get it and understand that. Farrell's doing a really good job. He's a confident kid. Won a lot of football. There's not many kids, and he may be the only one ever that started every game for 4 years or 3 years and won 3 straight national titles. So he's been in some big football games,
right.
You know. So he's a winner. So, I mean, those guys have done a really good job, and I think they're going to have the leadership that we need.
We'll talk some D-line on the way back, and then we'll get into that Howard game. UNLVtickets.com. We want a big crowd out there, so
let's
make sure folks show up. 6 o'clock start, and obviously all the tailgating before that out at Sam Boyd. We'll roll on here on this Wednesday on the Tony Sanchez Show.
The winning spirit that drives the Rebel student-athletes is rooted in the strength of the communities we all call home in Nevada. As the state's leading mining company, Barrick Gold plays a big role in building strong communities throughout Nevada, where our employees live and work. Today, Barrick continues its support for higher education, the most important asset in any community. We're proud to sponsor the Governor's Series and the hundreds of student-athletes that represent our state, competing for the Rebels and the Wolfpack. At Barrick, we're all for Nevada, no matter who wins the Governor's Series.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see, so much to do. You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
The Learfield Directors' Cup honors the nation's best overall collegiate athletic program in each division, men's and women's sports. The prestigious award continues its reign as the crowning achievement in college athletics, noting the remarkable efforts of student athletes and their institutions. To follow your favorite team, like us on Facebook. Find us at USA Today online and on Twitter at LDirectorsCup.com. Over 2 decades of excellence, the Learfield Directors' Cup.
Energy never disappears. It simply gets passed on to the next person and the next. Until before you know it, the entire community can feel it. In the last 5 years, we've given more than $27 million and over 175,000 volunteer hours to Nevada nonprofits. And we'll continue to give back because what's good for the community is good for all of us. Learn more at nvenergy.com/powerofgood.
Time is short. We got a bunch of important questions to get to here live at Born and Raised, Tony Sanchez Show, Steve Cofield in for Russ Langer, Adam Hill here as well, Caleb Herring and the coach. It's all brought to you by Finley Toyota. You got to go in there for the largest selection of new and certified pre-owned and used vehicles to choose from. Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. So wrapping up the defense before we get to the Howard game, defensive line. And
yeah,
you're fired up about the defensive line. And you got experience.
Yeah, Mike Hughes, stud, you know, all-conference guy, returning team captain, great player. Jason Fowl, we call him Pops, another great guy. Those two guys in the middle, they're going to be tough to deal with. And then the guy that was just, you know, Nick Dadashian, a defensive end, you know, he's a guy that going into a sophomore is going to have a great year. But Jameer Outsey was the guy we got at the last second. He's an Iowa bounce back. Went to junior college in Arizona, and once he finished everything up, we were able to bring him in right before camp. He's been tremendous. I mean, he's probably, and we'll see, we haven't been in a game yet, but he's probably been the best pure pass rusher we've had since we've been here, so it's really good to get him in there. And then Mark Fanal, who's a returning starter. So I like the front seven. I mean, they're big and they're physical, and I like our ability to rush the passer, defend the run, and you know, I think if we improve in the back end, you know, you're going to see some improvement on the D.
So is the powerful defensive line, the pass rush, the easiest way to fix anything that might be wrong in the secondary?
You know, it really is. I mean, the more heat you get on the quarterback, the more it changes. I mean, the hard thing is if you're a coordinator and you're struggling with the pass rush and you're trying to protect secondary guys, like, what do you do? What do you got? You got to add pressure, right? That leaves those guys on an island. So those guys struggle being on an island, and you can't add those extra guys into the rush. Now all of a sudden, it's like now you're giving them a ton of time, and you saw that a lot the first year, right? Last year, I think it was just, again, not playing the ball real well. But this year, I think we're going to have the ability to do both. We've got some good run stoppers. We've got some guys that are dynamic pass rushers. And I think we're going to have the ability to put a little pressure on you with four guys.
Now, does this defensive line have the depth that you need over a long season? You know, the fatigue factor is probably the most impactful on the defensive line. Getting worn down on over a long game, those runs start to turn into, you know, big chunks of yards. Do you think that there's enough depth at defensive line to get you through the season?
It's a concern. I mean, we're too deep, but we're not much more than that. You know, Solano Wiley, he's another guy that put the size on he really needs. He's a great defensive lineman for us. We got Kolu, who's a freshman, coming in. That's a lot to ask a guy, but he's a big, powerful 300-pound kid there. You know, he can play some of the nose for us. You wish you had a little bit more depth. You know, Zepeda's got to help out there a little bit. But, you know, we have more depth at the defensive end spot than we do the D-tackle spot. Dadashian's probably going to have to slide into the box, play a little bit inside there too. So you'd like to have a little bit more.
Right.
Let's get to Howard here.
Yeah.
Tell us about Howard. First-year coach, but not an inexperienced coach. Mike London is a guy who, especially on the FCS level.
Yep.
FCS level had tremendous respect or tremendous
success,
results,
yeah,
and success, and he's a respected guy. Was at Virginia.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's a great coach. He had a great career, and you know, he's going to do wonders with that program. Biggest thing is Anthony Filaw, their running back. He's a National Player of the Year candidate and preseason Conference Player of the Year. So anytime you have a running back like that, you know, you get better ready for it. But we know they're going to give us all we can handle. We just got to stay focused, play our game.
Have you watched any Carolina Panthers game film to get ready for this week?
We've watched all kinds of teams that all these guys have coached with before. We've watched UConn film,
got,
this and that.
Cam Newton's little brother.
I saw that.
Do you feel like you guys have a beat on what their kind of schemes are going to be coming into it? I saw a little odd pressures, and
we do based on coordinators' pass,
right.
You know, but part of it too is you come and you see the personnel you have and you adjust it a little bit. Again, there's not much on them. There's no spring game on film or anything like that. So we kind of got to go out there with a multifaceted game plan and be ready to go ahead and, you know, think on the run.
Right.
This is a game where you guys say we're going to do us.
We're going to do us. Absolutely. Really is. I mean, and then, you know, again, just from there.
And you said stay focused. There is no reason to be looking ahead to anything.
When you're UNLV, you do not look ahead.
Right.
I mean, you know our history with 1AA schools, and it's not a pretty one. So got to stay focused one play at a time. But our focus should be no different here than it is the next week and the next week and the next week. It's about taking that, you know, that professional approach to everything you do.
Anything to look for on game day that we want to push beyond the game itself?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you got the tailgate party going on out there. You got bands out there. You got the Rebel Walk. And we want people to come out and experience the whole game day. College football don't get better than that.
Finley Toyota, thank you. This is the first edition of the Tony Sanchez Show. We'll be back here at Born and Raised on a weekly basis. Finley Toyota is a proud supporter of UNLV football and has been since it opened. Finley Toyota and UNLV Athletics, one great team. Also, thanks to Cox Communications and Les Olson. Coach, appreciate it. Caleb, awesome job. Adam, thank you. I will slow down. Enjoy yourself tonight. Good luck in the game, okay?
Go Rebs.
On the Rebel Sports Network, this has been the Tony Sanchez Show. Brought to you by Country Financial. Take simple steps at countryfinancial.com/simple steps. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebel Sports Network.